I'd like to speak to you this morning on the topic of encouragement. I was encouraged this morning already by Sister Lamb. She told me that I still look young, and that encouraged me. I believe she was telling the truth, you know. But it's certainly good to see you all. Listen, in your Bibles, in Hebrews chapter 3 is where I'd like to take our text. I'd like to talk about the power of encouragement. Not only its power, but to show its power in that we need it. Not only do we need it, I want us to look at the benefits of encouragement. Your Bible reads there in Hebrews chapter 3 at verse 12 beginning. Take care, brethren, depending on the version you're reading, but take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Verse 13 says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Hey, let me say this. We all like to be encouraged, don't we? Think about that just for a moment. But we're also commanded here to give encouragement. Not only to be the recipients of encouragement, but the giver of encouragement. Now, the King James uses here the word exhort at verse 13, which comes closer to the original Greek word. When we break it down, Mr. W. Vine, in his Dictionary of New Testament Words, breaks it down. Para, to call to the side, kind of like maybe a paralegal that might work for an eternity. To the side, kaleo, to call, parakaleo. To call, to entreat, to beseech. The word encouragement means also to admonish, to exhort, to urge one to pursue a course of conduct for good. So I ask again, do you ever need encouragement? I'm talking about those of us who are Christians. More specifically, those of you at Waynesville, do you ever need encouragement? So this passage is a good example of New Testament commands, as it says here, to take care at verse 12. At verse 13, but exhort. And then at verse 14, to hold fast to the end. You see, the second command, the one in the middle, think about that, to exhort. It empowers us to keep the other two. That's the power of encouragement. Now, the question is, I would suppose, is how serious are we about this encouragement issue? Moving on, let's look at some reasons from the Scripture why it's important to encourage one another on a daily basis. Number one, because God commands it. How's that to start off? Well, we obey God's commands, right? And we're to exhort one another. Hebrews 3 here at verse 13. I drop back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we listen to Moses here near the end of the chapter. And notice how he says it at verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. For our good always. That He might preserve us alive as it is this day. So, when was the last time you exhorted someone? When was the last time you exhorted someone to be more faithful to God by your choice of words to them, or maybe by your actions toward them? Has it been a while? Was it just recently? perhaps even this morning before you came to services. Maybe you called someone up to encourage them to be at services this morning. When was the last time you urged someone to pursue a course of conduct for good? Now remember, it's a command to exhort. You see, God isn't commanding us to simply help someone through a tough day, like, "Hey, Roger, don't worry about it. Tomorrow's another day." That's not encouragement. Okay? No, God is commanding us to urge one another to pursue a course of conduct with which God will be well pleased. Let that point be a takeaway, that God is not commanding us, you know, just to, "Hey, get over it, Rog. You know, come on. You can do better than that." No. God is commanding us to urge one another to pursue this course of conduct in which He'll be well pleased. Now, when we talk about discussing the wonderful teachings of God, when we talk about warning those who are wandering away from God, folks, that's just not pulpit talk. Whoever's filling this pulpit. No, God commands it to be a part of our everyday speech. Every day, to encourage one another. Think about this. We can all say something that would help someone to live more faithfully to God. Do you believe that? That we can all say something to encourage? Yeah, we can. Sure we can. And encouragement will oftentimes motivate someone to get closer to God. But think about if there was no motivation, what then? Well, let's look at a second reason. Because if we're not encouraging one another, the Bible lets us know that we can develop an evil, unbelieving, hardened heart. Yeah. We're talking here about a heart that is no longer receptive to God's Word. We're talking about a heart that is drifting away from the living God. I mean, how serious is that? You see, exhortation, encouragement, they are designed to warn a person about the danger that they're in. Do you remember James chapter 5? James chapter 5, let's pick up there at verse number, well, I think it's 19 and 20. But James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, near the end of that chapter, what James writes? James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Look at the power of our words here. James says it this way. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know this, that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. We see that also in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, where Paul writes to the saints at Galatia. And he says, "Brethren," not preacher, not elders, not deacon, "brethren, if anyone be overtaken and in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted to wander from the truth." Now verse 2 says this. If you do what verse 1 says, verse 2 says, "and so fulfill you the law of Christ." You're doing just what the Lord would want you to do. How many of us know that it's just a harsh reality that someone who began his or her life in Christ with such zeal, who were on such fire, with so much fervor in their life and determination to follow after Jesus, can, over time, lose every bit of their faith in God and His Word? Have you seen that over the years? Have you once seen a brother or sister in Christ who once went back out into the world and they gave up on God? Now, that's what the Bible says can happen. We can develop an evil, unbelieving heart. Listen, folks, that once happened to an entire nation. In our text here of Hebrews chapter 13, if you will pick up there at verse number, 7 through 11, the writer is referenced back to the 95th Psalm, where the entire nation of Israel drew back. Third reason that we encourage is because sin is deceitful. Again, chapter 3 there at verse number 13. Notice what the writer writes here at verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Satan is also known as the master deceiver. I mean, he'll make things look really good, and he will deceive us. You see, this is what sin does. It promises pleasure, but it delivers misery, doesn't it? Yeah, it delivers eternal separation from God. Our sins separate us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. The Lord's hand is not heavy that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, but your sins and your iniquities have separated you from God. The person who habitually commits sin is deceived by sin. You know why they're deceived? Because they don't believe that sin is really that bad, that it really doesn't have that severe of consequences. This person believes that they can enjoy the pleasure of sin without reaping the consequences. But what does the Bible say about that again? Galatians 6 at verse 7, Paul starts off in that verse, "Be not deceived." There's our warning. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever one sows, what's going to happen? That's what he's going to reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap everlasting life. Listen. Oh, what a lie we tell ourselves when we deceive ourselves. And the longer one is deceived by that lie, the harder, the more calloused their heart becomes, and less likely he is to allow his life to be directed by God. So, yeah, here's some reasons for exhortation. I want to say this before we move on. We're all capable of being deceived. Have you ever been deceived about something in your life? More than likely, yes. Yeah. And because we're all capable of being deceived, if we are not vigilant, there in 1 Peter 5 at verse 8, where Peter says, be vigilant, be sober. Why be vigilant? Why be on guard? Because your adversary, your opponent, your enemy, the devil, what's he doing? Well, he's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So there's the mission of the devil, right? He's the deceiver, and sin is deceitful. That's why we're told to be alert, to be on guard, to be sober-minded, because he's our enemy. He wants to destroy us. But wait a minute. As we discussed in our class this morning, we've got something to depend upon. Look at the next verse, in verse 9. Peter says, him resist. Him who? Him, the devil, in verse 8. How do you resist him, Peter? Well, keep reading. Steadfast in the faith. That's how you resist the devil. And if we do not resist the devil, like James 4:7 advises us, James 4:7, therefore submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll what? He'll flee from you. Listen, does that mean he's not coming back? No. But I tell you what, the more we submit to God, the less trouble we're going to have out of the devil. I just want that to resonate. The more, listen, The more we submit to God, the less trouble we have out of the devil. Now, you may want to look at James 4:8 also, where James goes on with the thought, and he reminds us to draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to us. So, the deceptive nature of sin is the third reason that we must exhort one another as often as possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 9. Sin is deceitful, we said, right? Paul begins 1 Corinthians 6 at verse 9 with a question to these Corinthian brethren. He says, don't you know or know you not? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? See, the unrighteous can't inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on with that list here in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Neither fornicators, adulterers. He just goes through all those different categories of sinners. And then he says, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But he says, such were some of you. And that's the good part of that text there. Such were, but they were washed and they were justified. They came back to their Lord. So again, reasons for exhortation. God commands it. We can develop an evil, unbelieving, hardened heart. And sin is deceitful. Well, let's talk about now the benefits of exhortation. Let's notice how this works. If we are adamant about exhorting one another on a daily basis, let's look at the fruit from that. You know, there must be a lot of benefit from the practice of exhortation. And the reason I say that is because that word is found about 34 times in the New Testament. Now, we're not going to read all 34 verses, okay? But watch this. Here's one in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost at verse 40. What is Peter doing? And with many other words did he, Peter, exhort. There it is. Exhort or encourage and testify unto them, the hearers, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. He's saying, pursue a course of conduct for good. Come out of your sin. Come out of this perverse generation. So Peter's encouraging his audience to do just that. And you know, they would in the next verse, in verse 41. And they that gladly received his word, what happened? They were baptized. They were encouraged. They were exhorted to do just that, and they did it. I don't know how that happened. Okay. What about in Acts 14 at verse 22? Well, I must hit the wrong place. I'm sorry, Acts 11:23. When Barnabas came to Antioch and seen the grace of God, he was glad. And what did Barnabas do? He encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Hey, it's no coincidence that the name Barnabas means this son of consolation. It's no coincidence that Barnabas means the son of encouragement. Think about that. Barnabas is encouraging them to pursue a course of conduct. Acts 14, Paul strengthening the souls of his disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. What's he doing? He's preaching the same message. He's encouraging those disciples by exhorting them to pursue a course of conduct for good. I hope we're seeing the benefits of this. Scripture after scripture after scripture. And then in 1 Thessalonians to the church in Thessalonica. Finally then, brethren, this is Paul, we urge and we exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more just as you received from us how you ought to walk and please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. What is the will of God, Paul, to these Christians at Thessalonica? Here's the will of God, your sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. Yeah. So thus the benefits of exhortation. at them one more time. Yeah. There's the benefits of exhortation. So I ask again quickly, when was the last time you exhorted someone to pursue a course of conduct for good? To encourage them, to exhort them, to get their life back together. When you look amongst your number here and you see a weak member, what do you do about that? We exhort. We encourage them to do better. Listen, too many times in too many churches are failing to exhort and encourage one another. Let's notice the result if we fail to encourage. Let's notice the end result if we do not exhort one another. In our text of Hebrews chapter 3, picking up there at verse 16 through 19, again, we see that in Israel's failure. The whole nation departed. And it will be the failure of the Lord's church today if churches do not repent of our apathetic attitude and begin extending brotherly and sisterly love and encouragement to one another to be spiritually. Yeah, to do better spiritually. Well, I think this one, Nick, got out of order, so I'm just going to maybe stop the PowerPoint as far as that goes and just move ahead with the outline. Listen, we all get a little discouraged by the challenges we face each day. Raise your hand if you never get discouraged. And of course, no hands are going to go up. Because we all get a little discouraged by the challenges that we face each day. You know what I'm talking about. We all feel spiritually weak from time to time. That was our class discussion this morning. And we may be tempted not to resist this certain temptation in our life. We may say, what's the use? Yeah, what's the use? Nobody's interested in me. I'm fighting a losing battle. The devil's too strong and I'm too weak. So I'll just wave the white flag of surrender. But, and I say but, if we have someone exhorting us, we are more likely to overcome our moments of weakness and focus our minds on the Almighty God who has promised never to leave us and never to forsake us, Hebrews 13 at verse 5. Let me tell you about the benefits of exhorting one another. The benefits of exhortation, of encouraging one another, are so enormous. They are so far-reaching in time. There may be someone in this audience this morning who is serving the Lord today because of someone's exhortation so many years ago, who said the right words at the right time to put you back on the right track. We've seen that over the years. Here's what usually happens a lot of times. We show our love and concern to one another when we come into the door, through the door, come into the building, and we start greeting one another, right? And usually, how do we do that? Hi, Brother Lamb, good to see you. How you doing, Brother Lamb? And Glidden tells me how he's doing. Well, I greeted him. Maybe that's a form of encouragement that I greeted him. But what's this? Brother Glidden, how you doing spiritually? Now, what if we greeted one another that way? Not to be getting in anyone's personal business, but just out of love and compassion and concern. How are you doing spiritually? That person just may respond by saying this. Brother Mike, I'm glad you asked. I've got so much up here going on. I just didn't want to tell anybody about it. But by Mike's exhortation, by his encouragement, how are you doing spiritually? That was just what they needed to hear. And so they sit down and they talk and they discuss. And Mike is this encouragement to this other brother or sister. So think about that. Next time you greet, maybe make that a practice. How are you doing spiritually? Hey, are we our brother's keeper? Are we to be watching over one another? Yeah, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And this is just one way that we can show that love and concern. Oh, I forgot it wasn't used. So let's look at our third point, finally. Notice with me the consequences if we fail to exhort. Again, it was seen in Israel's failure. Just let me read that, please. Hebrews chapter 3, picking up here at verse number 16 through 19. For who, having heard, rebelled? Listen to this list of questions that the writer's asking. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Next question. Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Question 3, verse 18. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? He asks the question, he answers the question. All right? Of the 603,550 men who left Egypt, how many entered the promised land? You remember that. Why did the others fail? Because of their unbelief. Look at verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Maybe they weren't being encouraged during their travels throughout the wilderness for all of those years. Why did they, of all people, believe God, having seen His unequal power manifested before them time and time again? Why? Because they were not exhorting one another. Do you understand that the survival of this local church depends upon your exhortation and encouragement to one another? And I would preach this in any church that I preach in, that the very existence of your survival depends upon your encouragement. Yeah. Well, let me say this as we close. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, notice the encouragement and notice the benefit of this verse. Finally, brethren, Paul writes, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, whatever things are of good report, watch this, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, Paul says, meditate on these things. There's his encouragement to these saints. There's his exhortation to these saints. Now let's notice the benefit. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Here's the benefit. If you do what I've just said, the God of peace will be with you. Is that what's missing in your life today? The peace of God? And if it is, go back to verse 8. Are you meditating on these spiritual characteristics that Paul is encouraging us to meditate on? And we'll close with this one. A verse we're all so familiar with, Revelation 2. Do not fear, listen to the encouragement, any of those things which you are about to suffer. The church at Smyrna was about to go through some severe persecution. Don't you fear about that. You be faithful unto or until death. There's the encouragement. You Christians at Smyrna, you be faithful unto death. And here's the benefit. And I will give you the crown of life. I hope we've seen, church, this morning the importance of encouraging one another, exhorting one another, being there for one another. We are a support system, spiritually speaking, for one another. When we're down, when we're out, who do you need? Our doctors can only do so much. Maybe our relatives can only do so much. But if we implement and practice what the Word of God says on encouragement, you'll see just how strong your family is to one another. How much that you need one another. Pray one for another, the Bible encourages us. Encourage one another. Perhaps you're here this morning and you need some encouragement. We're going to follow up with that at the 11 o'clock sermon. When my world gets turned upside down. Maybe your world's not ever been turned upside down. But chances are, and to one degree or another, it will eventually get turned upside down. How are you going to deal with that? We extend the invitation at this time. Roger, we have an invitation to him. If you're subject to the call, make those needs known as we stand and sing.